In today's installment of our collective nightmare, we peer into the icy abyss of Russia's Far East, where reality has taken a sharp turn into the absurd. According to CNN, more than 100 fishermen found themselves stranded on a drifting sheet of ice. Yes, you heard that right. A literal floating death trap. Because why not tempt fate when you're already living in a world teetering on the brink? The incident occurred near Sakhalin Island, where these brave souls were swallowed by the sea after a 10-meter crack decided to make an unexpected appearance. As if Mother Nature herself had grown tired of humanity's antics and decided to play her own version of Russian roulette. Authorities mounted a rescue operation involving an Mi-8 helicopter and a Kivas hovercraft, a desperate ballet on ice and water, to save these marooned adventurers from their frozen purgatory. But not everyone was eager for salvation. Some extreme sports enthusiasts preferred clinging to their catches over clambering back to safety, because in this dystopian landscape, risking life and limb is just another Tuesday. This isn't even an isolated event. It's practically tradition in Sakhalin, a place where getting trapped on ice floes is as regular as your morning coffee. Just last year, over 80 fishermen played this same deadly game near Starodubskoy village. And let's not forget 2020's grand spectacle with more than 500 souls caught adrift at Mordvinov Bay. So here we are again, humanity pitted against nature in a ceaseless cycle of chaos and folly. Meanwhile, the rest of us sit idly by, watching as our collective sanity drifts further out to sea, one cracked ice floe at a time.
Folks, welcome back to another episode of White People Problems, where we dive deep into the issues that keep you up at night, if you're a certain shade of pale. Today, we're tackling a seismic event that's sending shockwaves through the cultural elite. Donald Trump has been elected chairman of the Kennedy Center. Yes, you heard it right. The man who brought us Covfefe is now in charge of a place named after JFK himself. Now, if you're not familiar with the Kennedy Center, let me break it down for you. It's like America's cultural jewel box, a place where high society gathers to sip overpriced wine and pretend they understand modern dance. But now that Trump's at the helm, it's less Swan Lake and more Fox and Friends on Ice. Trump's first order of business, no more drag shows, because nothing says make America great again, like banning men in wigs from lip-syncing to Cher. You know things are dire when your biggest cultural crisis is whether or not RuPaul can sashay onto your stage. And let's talk about this board shakeup. Trump filled it with his own appointees faster than you can say, you're fired. We've got Rick Grenell temporarily leading the charge, a man who's already juggling more roles than a Shakespearean actor. And let's not forget Dan Scavino and Sergio Gore, because when I think performing arts, I definitely think political aides. But here's the kicker. Deborah Rutter, the former president of this fine establishment, has left the building along with some other big names like Shonda Rhimes and Ben Folds. It's like watching a season finale where all your favorite characters just walk off set. So there you have it. The Kennedy Center coup d'etat, a true white people problem if ever there was one. While some folks worry about climate change or world peace, others are losing sleep over whether their next gala will feature an aria or an alt-right anthem. In conclusion, remember folks, as long as there's breath in our lungs and Chardonnay in our glasses, we'll always find something trivial to turn into a national crisis. Stay tuned for next week's episode when we discuss why kale shortages are tearing families apart across suburbia.
Welcome to the Daily Dose of Dystopia, where we explore the cutting-edge marvels that will undoubtedly pave our way to a brave new world, one injection at a time. Today's spotlight falls on Ozempic, the miracle drug that promises not just a slimmer waistline, but also a quieter liver. According to CNN's riveting report titled Ozempic, this wonder drug, originally designed for diabetes and weight loss, is now showing promise in curbing alcohol consumption. Yes, you heard it right. A medication intended to control blood sugar levels might inadvertently help solve one of America's most persistent addictions, alcohol use disorder, AUD. Because why tackle societal issues head on when you can pharmacologically engineer your way around them? In a study involving 48 participants with moderate signs of AUD, those who received semaglutide injections reportedly drank less than those given placebos. This groundbreaking revelation was published in JAMA Psychiatry and has experts cautiously optimistic about its potential. After all, nothing screams progress like addressing public health crises with off-label prescriptions. The trial setup was delightfully dystopian. A lab transformed into a cozy living room, complete with National Geographic episodes and an open bar. Participants were encouraged to drink their favorite alcoholic beverages, while scientists monitored their intake. It's almost poetic how our quest for scientific advancement mirrors reality TV, minus the commercial breaks. But before we celebrate this pharmaceutical intervention as the panacea for addiction woes, let's pause for some sober reflection. While Ozempic may reduce alcohol cravings and intake by up to 40%, it doesn't quite deter individuals from drinking altogether. Instead of eliminating temptation, it merely moderates indulgence, a fitting metaphor for modern society's approach to excess. Critics might argue that relying on drugs like Ozempic blurs the lines between treatment and dependency. A valid concern when fewer than 2% of people with AUD receive any form of approved medical treatment today. But fear not. If larger trials prove successful, we could soon witness an era where GLP-1 receptor agonists are as ubiquitous as smartphones, another tool to manage life's complexities without confronting them directly. Meanwhile, pharmaceutical giants like Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly are eyeing broader horizons beyond diabetes management. Cardiovascular benefits, kidney disease mitigation, even Alzheimer's disease research, all potentially overshadowed by their newfound role in addiction therapy. As we inch closer toward this chemically curated utopia, or dystopia, key questions remain unanswered. How will these drugs be used among those without weight issues? And what happens when side effects such as nausea become part and parcel of daily life? For now, though, whether you're battling obesity or merely looking for an excuse not to finish that second bottle, it seems salvation comes wrapped neatly inside tiny vials labeled Ozempic. Just another day in our relentless pursuit of perfection through pharmacology, where every problem has its pill, until it doesn't.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the big questions of life, one absurdity at a time. Today, we're diving into an article from CNN titled Marijuana Ads. It's a tale as old as time. Humanity's eternal struggle between desire and regulation, freedom and control, edibles, and, well, what looks suspiciously like a bag of Doritos. Picture this. You're a kid scrolling through social media, an endless digital playground that's somehow more addictive than the sugar rush you get from actual candy. But wait, what's this? An ad for marijuana cleverly disguised amidst the memes and cat videos. It seems our society has reached a point where even our vices are getting creative with their marketing strategies. Who knew existential dread could come in cherry-flavored gummies? Experts warn that these ads might entice youth into trying cannabis, a substance known to interfere with memory and cognition during those critical years when your brain is still figuring out how not to forget your own birthday. The irony here is rich. While adults try desperately to forget their responsibilities, teenagers are at risk of forgetting everything else. And let's talk about those budtenders, a term so close to bartenders it makes you wonder if they also double as philosophers dispensing wisdom along with weed. These youthful purveyors of pot look like they've just stepped out of high school themselves, making them relatable icons for the teenage crowd who can't legally partake, but can certainly admire from afar. In true existential fashion, businesses argue they're merely filling a void left by underground operators who have no qualms about selling to minors. It's capitalism doing what capitalism does best, turning even moral dilemmas into market opportunities. After all, why let ethics stand in the way of economic progress? Meanwhile, regulators seem caught in their own philosophical conundrum. How do you police an industry that's perpetually one step ahead? We're told it's like the Wild West out there. Except instead of cowboys on horses, we have influencers on Instagram peddling products with hashtags like #HighOnLife, in California, the land where dreams are made, and occasionally smoked. Only 10 out of 539 localities have taken steps to regulate cannabis advertising. Perhaps they're too busy enjoying the fruits, or should I say buds, of their labor to notice. Or maybe they're just living by the age-old adage, if you can't beat 'em, tax 'em. As we contemplate these ironies over our metaphorical cup of THC-infused tea, let's remember that every existential crisis comes with its own set of absurdities. In this case, it's children accidentally ingesting edibles because they look exactly like beloved snacks, a classic mix-up that leaves both parents and poison control centers scrambling. So here we are, navigating a world where marijuana masquerades as candy and regulations play catch-up in an endless loop, reminiscent of Sisyphus pushing his boulder uphill. It begs the question, are we truly free if our choices are dictated by clever marketing or societal norms? Perhaps we'll never know for sure, but hey, at least we've got something new to ponder during our next existential crisis hour, or snack break. Welcome to The Capitalist's Fever Dream, where the absurdity of our relentless pursuit of profit is laid bare, and inflation becomes just another symptom of society's grand collapse. This week's delight comes courtesy of CNN's article, Inflation, where we learn that consumer prices have decided to throw a tantrum and soar at their fastest pace since August 2023. Economists expected a yawn-inducing report, but instead, they got a firecracker. Eggs, those humble ovals of protein, are now the new gold standard, up 53% year over year thanks to avian flu. Who would have thought breakfast could become such a luxury? The egg index alone accounts for 2/3 of grocery price hikes. Perhaps soon we'll see them traded on Wall Street alongside crude oil futures. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump continues his economic magic show by proposing tariffs as the cure-all while demanding lower interest rates. Because nothing says fiscal responsibility like playing chicken with inflation while simultaneously poking it with sticks labeled tariffs. His administration's supply-side tax cuts and regulatory policies are supposedly poised to bring down prices any day now. Just ignore the economists waving red flags about reigniting inflation. The Federal Reserve is caught in its own fever dream, trying to curb demand without sending the economy into freefall. It's like watching someone juggle chainsaws while blindfolded. You can't help but watch, even though you know it won't end well. Yet here we are, cheering from the sidelines as if this circus act will somehow balance itself out. In this twisted landscape, shelter costs continue their slow waltz upward, despite an apparent cooling trend. A delightful contradiction in terms that only adds spice to our economic stew. And let's not forget Trump's bold promise to tame egg prices. Surely this will be remembered as one of history's great policy triumphs. As we grapple with uncertainties and endure this capitalist carnival ride, remember, it's all just part of the spectacle. Inflation isn't merely an economic indicator. It's a mirror reflecting our collective mania for growth at any cost, even if that cost is sanity itself. So sit back and enjoy the show, because when profits are king, reality takes a back seat in the capitalist's fever dream.